Welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show, brought to you by Vivo. I am your host, Tracy Sandler. And for those of you watching on YouTube, that man that just waved at you was invited here. He is the great, the talented, the smart, the funny, the handsome, the all-around just amazing Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area. And he is a 49ers insider. I like saying that.
That's it. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, but thanks for dropping by that. So now I'm going to talk about the 49ers, and Matt's going to go, but I just wanted you guys to know I know him, and yep. I just wanted to feel cooler, and now I feel cooler.
AI is such a great thing, isn't it?
It really is. It just seems, totally feels like it's you.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yes. I can't wait until AIU says something so crazy and hot takey, and things just blow up here. Oh, so
this could, who knows? This could be the day.
This could be the day. I can't wait. Well, we are going to talk a little 49ers. They're always a little crazy and hot takey. I don't know if that's true, but it felt like a segue I was going to go.
We're not going to be talking about the offensive linemen or the defensive linemen. We're only going to be talking about the little players on the 49ers, the wide receivers, the defensive backs.
The little players. Oh, right.
We're going to be talking... Oh, a little bit about
the 49ers. I was so confused. I was like, little 49ers. You know what? We're only going to talk about the guys who are under 6 feet.
Yes. Are we rolling? Do we need to start over?
I don't think we do. I think we just keep this train continuing on as it is, because we're going to talk a little bit of 49ers. And I say a little bit, we're going to talk a lot of 49ers. That's really why you're here. BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
Oh, okay. That's all I'm good for.
No, there's so many things you're good for, but this still felt like the appropriate thing to discuss because we are in OTAs, phase 3, organized training activities. People ask me all the time, and by all the time, few people have asked me, what are OTAs? They are voluntary organized training activities. At these voluntary organized training activities, there has been no Brandon Ayuk, which is certainly not a surprise. There has been no Christian McCaffrey, which maybe was a little bit more of a surprise and perhaps something we will talk about in a little bit. I was going to say we were going to unpack it, but I don't think we're going to unpack it. I think we're just going to talk about it a little bit. But we're going to start with someone who wasn't there last week and was there this week, Juwan Jennings. He's signed a 2-year deal. Technically, he's really been extended because he was offered the tender.
I disagree. I think it's like, I think the
it's
way
a two-year deal, first, right?
2-year deal. Because he never signed the tender. The 49ers announced it as a 1-year extension. No, it's a 2-year. It's a 2-year deal. So let's call it what it is. It's a 2-year deal.
You know what? This is why I like having you here, because I'm just going to say it like it is.
We cut through the BS here on the Tracy.
We sure do. I was going to hit something, but I'm afraid my mic's a little wonky. So I was concerned that would be the end of it. But Juwan Jennings signs his 2-year deal. Breaking news. Good signing for the 49ers. Very good signing for Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings is a good story. Benny Jennings, if we're being super proper with his actual name. But he's a great story. This is a guy who had some issues in college, left the team, came back, drafted in the 7th round by the 49ers. He gets cut. He gets the practice squad. And now he's a pretty important part of this offense. And I think we certainly saw that in those few weeks towards the end of the season last year where he was not in the offense. And I think it proved how important he is. So a good story for him and an important signing for the 49ers. So let's talk a little bit about that. And then there's another wide receiver people are hoping they're going to sign. I don't know if you heard.
Are you talking about Brandon Ayuk?
Yeah, that's the one.
So I would say that, last year, Juwan Jennings did not have a great regular season. He had the concussion issue, which prevented him from playing in several games. I believe he missed 4 games. He only had 19 catches, the entire season. And of course, when you compile the short list of people who might have been up there for Super Bowl MVP had the 49ers won the game, Juwan Jennings would have been there with the touchdown pass that he threw, the touchdown reception. But, you know, as I look at the 49ers wide receiving core last season, it was Brandon Ayuk, it was Deebo Samuel, a significant drop off, and then Juwan Jennings, and then a drop off into the abyss because I don't even know that they had a number four receiver. Was it Ray-Ray McCloud? Was it Ronnie Bell? Was it Chris Conley? They really didn't have a fourth receiver. So this year, you know, they did not trade Brandon Ayuk. Breaking news. Deebo Samuel's
back. He's still on the team?
It's still on the team. Despite what you might have heard right around draft time, he's still on the team. So you bring back your top three, and then you kind of double down if you're the 49ers and bring in Ricky Pearsall to be, what, the number 3.5 receiver? So, you know, number 2, I guess, 2.5 receiver, right? Or I don't know, whatever. You know what I'm saying.
I know what you're trying to say.
Now they have four legitimate NFL wide receivers that are, I wouldn't say they're all interchangeable, but I don't think, you know, if Deebo Samuel runs a deep route and it's incomplete, he can just go to the sideline and they can sub in Juwan Jennings or Ricky Pearsall. I also think what this does is, you know, sounds like they were prepared a little bit to move on from Kyle Juszczyk. You know, anytime you go to a player and say, hey, take a pay cut, and you're putting it in the ball in the player's court, where they did the same thing with Eric Armstead. He said, no thanks. I'll try my luck on the open market. He ends up with Jacksonville. They did the same thing with Kyle Juszczyk. So that tells me, when you look at the fullback position, that they were kind of like, okay, we're ready to move on a little bit here. But also the tight end position, where they have George Kittle, and who knows what the backup situation is.
George Kittle said that to us on Wednesday, essentially. It was like me, and then there's a lot of work to be done in that room, is essentially what he said.
Yeah, so you're talking about an offense through the first, 6 years, 7 years of Shanahan and Lynch that have been basically two-back, two-tight-end centric. You know, they use those packages a lot more than probably any other team in the league. Now, with four legitimate wide receivers, I can see the offense going through kind of a metamorphosis of, now it's more three wide receivers. Why would you draft a wide receiver in the first round if you plan on not playing him? So there's more opportunities for three wide receivers. There's more opportunities for three wide receivers and four wide receivers. And then if you have Christian McCaffrey back there, think about the five eligibles that you can put out there, you know, that gives you a lot of possibilities. You don't even need George Kittle out there, and you could have four wide receivers and one back. You could have three wide receivers, George Kittle, and one back. So I would think we're going to see a lot of different personnel packages this season that we haven't seen before from this iteration of the 49ers.
This was a little bit, felt like an SAT question. If Kyle Shanahan has five wide receivers and one tight end, and he takes three wide receivers, it felt like a little bit like that.
You know, it's funny because as I was explaining or talking through this, like the eligibles, I started thinking, like, okay, how many players are eligible? There's five offensive linemen. There's a quarterback. I'm assuming Brock Purdy or a quarterback will be on the field for every play. So there's six. And I know that there are 11 players. That's the maximum of players you can have out there on the field. So then math is not easy. We know
that. No, I find math to be very hard, but this SAT question is going to be really good. I think we should start having an SAT question every Sunday, like a random personnel SAT question, and then have people pick.
No,
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm probably not going to do it.
I don't think I have a solid opinion on that, but give me a little time to formulate my thought process.
What if I get it sponsored?
Well, then in that case, you could have anything sponsored as a go.
the SAT, 49ers SAT question of the week. But I do agree with you. I think we are going to see a lot of different personnel packages. I think the 49ers really, it feels like, spent this offseason looking, and this is going to sound pretty simplistic, but really looking at what worked and what didn't. And they've been so close. And it's been, you know, we say football's a game of inches, and it has been in many of their big losses. So especially in this last one. And so they spent this offseason retooling, I was going to say rekindling, but that's not correct, but retooling. They basically redid their defensive line. All the rewords that I can come up with.
Yeah.
They reworked the coaching staff. I mean, this is,
and you repeat it and you'd be regurgitating what you just said.
100%. See, this is why I have you on, because you get me. Really, I feel like you understand me. But this, I think this offense is going to be kind of interesting and fun and very different. So then I have a question for you. Where does the young Isaac Garendo fit into this offense?
I'm not sure he does, to be honest with you. I think he fits in as an insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when you look at the 49ers' top three running backs, I think that's pretty solid. You know, you obviously have Christian McCaffrey, and then behind him, you have Elijah Mitchell, and behind him, you have Jordan Mason. So I would say that unless there are maybe multiple injuries, I don't think Garendo is out there year one. Now, a year from now, we could be having a different conversation, because Elijah Mitchell will be an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season. You also have McCaffrey, whose, you know, contract situation is kind of something to monitor. Jordan Mason will be a restricted free agent at the end of the year. And so, you know, what kind of tender do they put on him? So I really think that when you look at this draft, the 2024 49ers draft, I don't know that there's really, other than Pearsall, and an opportunity for a guy to make a significant impact year one. But pretty much down the line, it was selections of players at positions of need maybe a year from now. So that goes for safety, where Hufanga is entering his final year. That goes at offensive guard with Dominic Pooney. And obviously the safety was Malik Mustafa. That goes for guard with Dominic Pooney. I'm not sure that he will be in the conversation for a starting role year one, but certainly right guard next year, or even left guard next year, depending on what happens with Aaron Banks. So Garendo, the one area where I could see him having an impact, and he'd have to earn his way to get a uniform on game days once the regular season starts, would be in the kicking game. Maybe a guy like him, a big guy with great straight line speed, he might be the best answer for the new kickoff rule, where Brian Schneider, the 49ers off special teams coordinator, talked about, you know, they're trying to figure out like what skill sets work best for the new kickoff rule. And it might be with the kick coverage teams lining up closer to, you know, the landing area, and maybe not having that head of steam. It might be that a bigger guy would be the best choice to return kickoffs, because there won't be that force coming in, and it might be the ability to break arm tackles might mean it's better to have a bigger guy, and you make that combination of big and fast. Maybe Garendo earns his way into that role, but I really don't see him being a factor on offense year one. And if he is, it probably means that some bad things have happened to the 49ers offense.
I agree. I agree with that assessment. And as long as you bring up the kickoff rule and returner, we've seen, you know, a few guys at OTAs returning punts. And are we allowed to say who we've seen? We are, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, you know,
We sure did. We've seen, obviously, Ronnie Bell. We've seen Trent Taylor, which...
Have you seen Ronnie Bell?
I've seen him catch a few.
Okay. I mean, he struggled. Man, he struggled as a rookie. So I'd say that he's probably fourth.
He has been back there at practices.
Okay. I haven't seen him too much, but just to cut you off. I have seen Trent Taylor. I have seen Ricky Pearsall, and I have seen Jacob Cowley.
Yes.
And to me, it's pretty obvious that Taylor and Pearsall look the most comfortable doing it. Jacob Cowling, we'll see. I mean, a lot of times it's just being the balls being spit up there by a jugs machine. But Cowling and Bell certainly looked the least comfortable doing it.
Well, and Bell certainly was the least comfortable doing it last season. Of all those people, he was the only one there. I saw more last week, yesterday. I'll be honest, I didn't pay as close of attention. So perhaps he was doing less of it yesterday, but I did see it and I did have some footage of him doing it. So that's the only reason I know for sure. That is proof. That is, if I had to prove it in court, which would be really weird if I did, but if I had to prove it in court, I have video of it. But, you know, that brings up another interesting kind of situation. We talk about this draft class. If Ricky Pearsall can do it, it's going to make it very hard for Isaac Rendo and Jacob Cowing to have a uniform on game day, because then you have, you know, I think it just kind of depends. The wide receiver room will be interesting. You know, this is going to be interesting. It's obviously a big offseason for Ronnie Bell, who was a seventh round draft pick who had a lot of excitement kind of his first half of the season and really fell off. And I don't know if some of that was Ray McLeod gets injured and he gets thrown into position he wasn't really prepared for. And does that shake your confidence? I don't know. Probably, but you know, there's just a lot there. So, but this is an opportunity for him. He's not a lock to make the roster, which for predictable picks, it makes me a little scared. And I really need him to be.
I don't think anybody's a lock other than, you know, the top four guys
They're fine. It's not.
Juwan Jennings and Pearsall. And then after that, I'd say probably four guys competing for two spots.
Yeah.
And that would be Cowing, Danny Gray, Ronnie Bell, Fred Taylor.
Yeah. I don't feel like, well, I guess we'll see what happens to Danny Gray in this offseason. But
I'd say he's a long shot.
Yeah, I would say he's definitely a long shot. Listen, I don't want to make this about me, but I have predictable picks. You know, my show with Jake and Ronnie. And it really needs Ronnie to be there. Otherwise, Jake is just picking against himself every week. And I do have a bunch of guest pickers coming up this year, but I really need Ronnie Bell to make this roster for that reason. I know that you can't help me there, but
yeah, I don't know what to say. I don't think I will say this. Maybe in the case of a tie, John Lynch and company decide, well, you know, he is
predictable.
He is a picker. But I would say, by and large, the 49ers will probably just end up going with the receivers that they believe that can help them the most, not necessarily the players that they believe can help you the most.
See, I think that's rude because I've been covering this team a long time. And
now that said, that's my interpretation. I don't think John Lynch has come out publicly and said that. If he did, that would be rude. So you're just saying that's my interpretation is rude?
A little bit. Well, here's the thing that's also rude. There were 18 Michigan guys in this draft. So if like there was another opportunity to get me another co-star, you know what I'm saying? So they didn't do that. Now we have Drake Nugent, undrafted free agent at center, who did a wonderful job protecting the great J.J. McCarthy. So he should make the team, in my opinion. But again,
okay, I did not come on this show to talk Michigan.
I know, but if you knew there had to be a little bit.
I get way too much of that in the press room. So can we flip the script a little bit and move on?
We can, but I think I want to tie up the wide receiver discussion. I mean,
Should I eat a sandwich and come back when you're done, or are we?
I think we've covered all that. What I would like to talk about is Brandon Ayuk, and then what I would love your opinion on, because we've seen this happen with these contract extensions multiple times over the years. Usually gets done later than May. I have no doubt it will get done. However,
really, no doubt.
Well, I don't have any doubt.
Okay.
And here's why I don't have any doubt. I don't have any doubt because we've seen this before.
Yeah. You know.
And we've gone through this multiple, the most dramatic of which was Deebo Samuel. And yeah. I think we're seeing a similar vibe going on here.
Here's what we haven't seen though, Tracy.
Okay.
I mean, and you're referring to, we've seen it with George Kittle, Fred mm-hmm. Warner, Deebo Samuel, Nick Bosa.
Correct.
And maybe I'm missing.
That's it. Those are the four.
So we've seen it with those four. What we haven't seen is the 49ers make a significant top five, top 10 investment in a player who plays a position where they've already made that kind of investment. So now you get into this philosophy of, can you afford two wide receivers making top 10 dollars in the NFL? And, you know, mm-hmm. now you add on to that, that they're paying Juwan Jennings probably, you know, $6 million. We haven't seen the official numbers, mm-hmm. but, you know, probably $6 million a year for the next mm-hmm. 2 years. So the 49ers have to decide if they're going to keep up with the market, they're going to have to pay Brandon Ayuk more than what Deebo Samuel made on his mm-hmm. contract a couple of years ago. And then they also have to figure out, okay, how do we manage this for the near future when Brock Purdy is going to be getting his contract, and you know, what are they going to do there? And Deebo Samuel has, I believe, two more years left on his mm-hmm. deal this year and the next year. So they have to kind of look at this thing, I think, in a way that they didn't have to look at it a couple of years ago when they signed Deebo Samuel to a contract that made him one of the top wide receivers in the league. Now, all that said, I would agree with you that I think it gets done. I'm just less certain that this will get done than I was about either of the other four players that we just mentioned, merely because of the position he plays and what they've already invested in that position, both with Deebo Samuel's contract, Juwan Jennings' new contract, and mm-hmm. investing a first round pick in another wide receiver.
And I see a little bit differently, and I may be wrong here. I've been wrong like once or twice before in my life. So we'll see if this is the third time or second. I can't remember if it was once or twice. So we'll see.
So if you said it was the third, you were wrong. It's actually the second. So that would make it the third time that you're wrong.
That's true. Yeah. So then it would be the fourth. Anyways, right. What I see is them getting it done and then next year moving on yeah. from Deebo Samuel.
Basically crossing that bridge when they get to it.
And here's why I think this. Because they're in a win-now mentality. And I know they don't like talking about windows, but let's be honest. Like this is the year. They got to win it this year. And without Brandon Ayuk, they will be a worse team than they are today.
But
go.
They can still not get that contract extension done.
That's true.
You can have him this year. He's still under contract for this year. Now, I just wrote a column at NBCSportsBayArea.com mm-hmm. that
check it out.
It's basically, you know, you can kind of kick the can down the road a little bit in the sense of you have those four receivers on the team this year, and you don't have to make that decision necessarily about next year. Let's just say that they do sign Brandon Ayuk to a contract extension that is roughly the same, you know, dollar amount as Deebo Samuel. Mm-hmm. Well, if Deebo Samuel doesn't have a great year, they can go to him and say, hey, you know, we're going to redo your contract. If you don't like it, we can release you. But, you know, based on the year you had in 2024, you're probably not going to get this on the open market. The other mm-hmm. thing would be is if he does have a great year and Brandon Ayuk has a great year and the 49ers achieve great things this season, they can say, you know what? We got to keep these four guys together. And mm-hmm. because it worked out so well in 2024. So now they have to look at some of the other high priced players on the team. Right. And you name the position. You know, it could be, I don't know if it'd be linebacker, but, you know, could it be tight end?
I think it will be tight end.
Could it be offensive tackle? Yeah. Could it be running back? Could it be any other number of positions, combinations, guys, defensive line, you know, Javon mm-hmm. Hartley. It could be a number of different positions where mm-hmm. they say, okay, let's, let's cut and paste here in order to keep those four receivers together, especially when you're going to be signing Brock Purdy to a big time contract and you want to give him the best opportunity as possible to keep that ball rolling and keep him earning that money, which is going to go from making him one of the absolute lowest paid guys on the team to one of the absolute highest paid players in the entire NFL next year.
And you do make a good point. Brandon Ayuk is still under contract, so they don't necessarily have to get it done. The question is, and I don't think he would do this, but are we going to have like a long-term holdout situation? Is he going to say, well, I'm not playing? I mean, I don't know. And I don't know the answer. Probably not, but it just gets complicated.
It does. Yeah. I mean, you want your guys to stay healthy and happy and you know, pulling in the same direction. It's never, you know, I mean, we saw it with Nick Bosa. I mean, that went right up until, what was that, the Wednesday before.
Mm-hmm.
Or the start of the regular season. And, you know, his play was affected through at least the bye week.
And he said that. He's been very open about that.
Yeah.
So, and Debo was very open about that even in his year. And he got there earlier, but he's very open about that as well.
Yeah. And so it's a good situation to have in that the 49ers have acquired enough good players that eventually they have to pay those good players. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a stark contrast to, you know, the final years of the Trent Baalke regime where they were so far under the salary cap because they never drafted well enough for their draft picks to earn second contracts. And so, you know, they didn't have good enough players to extend on lucrative contracts. And now it's almost at the point where they have too many guys that they can't keep them. And so they're going to have to start making some difficult decisions. But, you know, it's not, I know they have a 3-year plan every year. Parag Marathe, the salary cap guru, chief negotiator for the team, will put together plans of, you know, here's the plan this year, here's the plan next year, and the year after that, you know, here are the comings, here are the goings. And it's not, you know, a absolute roadmap for this is exactly how they're going to do it, but it's kind of a starting point. And then based on how guys perform, how guys rise, how guys decline, the success of the team, what's happening around the league, you know, they're able to adjust off of that. So, you know, I don't think that they have in their mind an absolute, this is how the roster is going to look next year. Mm-hmm. But they do have an idea of, unless something significant happens one way or the other, these are the steps that will probably be necessary to take in order to remain cap compliant and keep the roster together as best they can.
It's a tough business, Matt Maiocco. It's a tough business.
That's why the NFL prints money. That's why everybody is so well compensated.
That is true.
Including the reporters. No.
Right. Including them for that's a little bit less true. But I will say this is a I appreciate that. Maybe someone will listen to this and be like, you know what? The reporter should be better.
I'm sure Goodell will be listening to this and going, you know what?
I think he's an avid listener of the Tracy Sandler Show.
There's no question.
There's absolutely no question in my mind. And so when we all get raises next week, you're welcome. Just gonna
Thank you, Roger Goodell. Hold on one second. You were Hey Sarah. Sarah, can you call me, please? So my wife should be dialing me and so here's how I have her listed in my phone contact. Can you see that?
Yep. Sarah Goodell or Sarah Maiocco.
Oh, did it pop up? Okay, here we go. Yeah, it comes through now. Roger Goodell. So there have been times when I'm on the practice field with the 49ers in the old days with that Dan Beckler.
Yep.
Dan Beckler, PR guy, former with the 49ers, now running the NIL deal with Kansas basketball, I believe it is. Well, we are on the practice field and I get a phone call from my wife. I show him, and I even had the logo, the shield, and I got a phone call. I was like, oh my gosh, you know how we're not supposed to take phone calls on the practice field?
Right.
And I show it to Beckler and his eyes get this wide and he goes, oh, you better take that one. And then And then I walk off and I talk to my wife, and then I come back and he goes, "Was that about the international game?" And I was like, I can't tell you what that's about. Personal. So I don't think to this day he knows that that wasn't actually Roger Goodell calling me on the 49ers practice field.
Well, I'm going to tell him to make sure to listen to this podcast, and he's going to learn something new. That's really funny. That's really, really funny. Normally, I would say we would end there. But we don't, well, I would normally say that was a good enough story to end on, but there were two other things I wanted to talk about. And so since I have you here, I'm going to keep you a few more minutes. One of them being Christian McCaffrey. We touched on this at the beginning. He has not been at OTAs. It's voluntary. Again, it is voluntary. But it's funny because I said to someone the other day, but he's been at every other OTA since he was a 49er, but there's only been one other OTA since he was a 49er. So it doesn't...
Yes. I was going to say, and he was running around like a freaking madman last offseason, really setting the tone for the offseason program. So, yeah, I know he has upcoming nuptials. Yes. I know that around the league, agents I've talked to said, you know, at some point, Christian McCaffrey is going to want to, you know, recalibrate that contract and maybe bring in some more guaranteed money and whatever the case. So we don't know exactly what's going on, but it is odd that a guy who seems to be, you know, is so focused on football, being better and all that, it's quite jarring. Yes. And it certainly opens the door for speculation when he's not on the practice field, even during the mandatory mini camps or mandatory organized team activities.
The voluntary organized. Well, mandatory mini camp is next week, so we'll see if he's there.
It's mandatory, so I'd assume he would be.
I assume he would be too, because it is mandatory. But we still don't know. We still won't know for sure. Time will tell.
Well, we will when the mandatory mini camp rolls around.
Then we'll know for sure. But like today, we don't know for sure. But yes. And I guess what will be sort of interesting is let's assume he'll be in attendance. Will he be practicing?
No. Well, I wouldn't think so. And I don't think, you know, Brandon and I, you guys expect him to be
in attendance. He definitely won't be practicing.
No. And I would say the same with McCaffrey, because there's no reason to. And also, you don't want to go from 0 to 100. You know, anybody who hasn't been part of the program, you know, it'd be like, you know, we've seen Fred Warner over on the side field just kind of working out. Mm-hmm. I would not expect.
And Debo and Bosa both were at mandatory mini camp. They didn't practice, but they were there. So I expect we'll see.
Practicing, I think. And,
No. I'm saying in their, I'm sorry, I was, yeah, I was yeah, there. Yeah, yeah. In yeah. their contract years, they came to mandatory mini camp. They didn't practice, but they were there.
Right. And that's understood.
Of course.
Know. Yeah, 100%. I mean, the team, you know, Kyle Shanahan knows, you know, what's up. And so, yeah, no, that's, I mean.
Yeah, that, I'm not, it wasn't scandalous. I was just saying.
No, I'm just saying the 49ers are probably better off with those young guys sharing reps this time of year anyway.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, so I wasn't hot taking. I was just making the comment that I imagine we'll see Brandon
Anderson there. I thought you were doing a hot take, and I thought this might be AI and not Tracy Sandler.
No, it wasn't a hot take. It was just because someone said to me, I said, do you think Ayuk will be there? That's my Twitter voice, by the way. So do you think Ayuk will be there? And I said, yes, he'll definitely be there. And but what about the contract? It was like, you know, Debo and Nick Bosa were there on that contract years. So they didn't practice, which is understandable, but they did attend mandatory minicamp. So there's that. Okay, my last thing I want to discuss is we talked about the draft class, and that other than Ricky Pearsall, none of them probably having a huge impact that this year. Though there is one other person that I think potentially has an impact, and that is Renardo Greene, because I think it is very clear the cornerback room, other than Charvarius Ward and Diamador Lenore, is very up in the air. I think there's players there most likely 98-99% sure they're going to move on from. They signed a number of guys in the offseason. They drafted Renardo Greene, and I think he has the potential to come in and actually make an impact this year.
Yeah, if we could rewind that, and when we talked about the draft class not having an impact, we erred. So that would be the fifth mistake you've made in your life.
You know what? In fairness to me, you said that. Yeah, I just kind of nodded along, knowing I was going to bring this up later, but that's fair.
Your complicity is a mistake, I think, in this case of agreeing with me. But no,
I don't want to embarrass my guest until later in the show.
That's fair too. I would say Renardo Greene, he has an opportunity to be the nickelback, which plays 67% of the time. Let's just go 2/3 of the time he would be on the field. And that's an area where the 49ers absolutely struggled last year. Mm-hmm. They never, ever found the answer at nickelback, or more specifically, just for their defense as a whole, because when they moved D'Amador Lenore inside the nickelback, I think they found their answer at nickelback. They just didn't have an answer on the outside.
Exactly.
So that is an area where Renardo, in best case scenario for the 49ers, is Renardo Green starts the season at nickelback, and Lenore and Ward remain on the outside. And then a year from now, I'd say zero chance that both Charvarius Ward and D'Amador Lenore remain with the team in 2025. And then you can have Green starting at one of the outside positions. So, you know, I guess the other way they could do it, which would be possible, is if Green is so good on the outside and they figure Lenore is capable of, you know, moving inside and playing those dual roles, that maybe in nickel situations, Lenore slides down and Renardo Green takes the spot on the outside. And then basically a year from now, maybe those roles are, you know, the role is switched with Green starting on the outside and moving inside. So anyway, long story, but I would agree that Renardo Green is the second guy. And who knows, you know, he might even have, if he solidifies that role in the 49ers defense, you know, I know this flies in the face of what I just said 10 minutes earlier, but he might have the biggest impact of all the rookies because of how important that role is in the 49er, not only the 49ers defense, but every defense in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree with you. So that's going to be one to watch.
Well, last year they did kind of botch it.
So hopefully this year it's just one to watch.
But that could be their team slogan. Nickelback, going from one to botch to one to watch.
Like swarm, but better.
That could be like those big banners they hang on the side of Levi's Stadium, you know, faithful to the Bay. Two banners from 2023, one to botch, 2024, one to watch.
Which actually could be true generally, not just a Nickelback. So I think that could just be their team slogan. I'm going to let you pitch it.
Okay.
Because I'm worried about predictable picks, so I have only so many things I can be pitching. So I'm going to let you pitch that one.
Okay.
So good luck. Maddie, you're the best. Thank you.
Well, thank you. So are you, Tracy.
Oh, that's very sweet.
I only said it because you said it to me. I just
felt like that, but I appreciate it nonetheless. But since I actually think you are the best, please let everyone know where they can find you.
Well, that sounds like the end of Hot Ones. Have you ever watched Hot Ones?
No.
Oh, you should watch it. It's great. It's a, is it YouTube? I think it's on YouTube. It's the interview show where celebrities are.
Oh, yes. I have seen that. Yes.
Okay. So anyway, I'm at NBCSportsBayArea.com. That's where you find me and the written word. I'm using my typing fingers right now.
Yes. For those of you just listening.
The 49ers Talk podcast, available anywhere you get your podcast. That's doing quite well. And I'm amazed at how many people listen to podcasts.
Yes, and, that is true.
Yeah, people who listen to podcasts, listen to podcasts. So any Tracy Sandler show podcast listeners that I can pick off and start listening to 49ers Talk, I would be appreciative of. And also, I'm on regularly on KNBR, and so I'm just kind of doing all kinds of things. And I'm also ready here soon, not only to get off this podcast because I have something planned in about 3 minutes, but I'm also looking forward to taking tons of vacation time that I've accrued over the years. So pretty much after the mandatory mini camp, I'm going to be taking mandatory time off from my 49ers reporting duties.
As well you should. And guys, I will also be taking time off for my 49ers reporting duties after mandatory mini camp. You can find me on Twitter at TracyFGSN. You can find all of our work at FGSN.com, on Instagram at Tracy Sandler. If you like what you heard, and I know you did, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating and a super positive review. We are brought to you by FIBO. We are brought to you by Bet Online. And with that, I'll talk to everybody next time. Bye, all.